It's an NRL round preview.
Here we go again.
Round 20 is upon us, MG. And I'm with the Olympics going on at the moment. It's like the Olympics have been like a little, what do you call it? An aperitif, like a little palate cleanser.
A little escape from reality,
yeah,
to be honest.
A little.
It's something we all needed. It's look, without having games here in Sydney, it's kind of, we're kind of devoid of that connection at the minute. But once Thursday night comes around and Friday, and I'm glued to the TV, I must confess. And once the Olympics are over, we'll be into about round 22 of the NRL, which will be hotting up season.
Yeah, but it's actually made me more excited for the weekend of footy because it's kind of like Monday through Thursday and a half, I'm kind of like, oh, what's going on in the swimming and the rowing? And now, oh, Thursday night football's here. So I'm looking forward to ripping through these games. Let's start with tomorrow night. The round kicks off with the Roosters taking on Parramatta, a top six clash. And a Parramatta Eels side desperate for a win. They get Tom Opacek back into the side, Murata Nirokora out injured. And for the Roosters, we see Billy Smith out and Matt Ikavalo out, both with injuries. Devastating, particularly for Billy Smith, the injury run he's had. But this is the selection that's got you up in arms. Joey Manu named on a wing.
I'm still shaking my head over it. I don't know whether it's a tactical ploy to, you know, get Parramatta off the scent or what it is. But I just think he's... Oh, look, put it this way. The Warriors want to splash $1 million on him for the next 3 or 4 years to be their 5'8". That's how imperative he is. When Tedesco's out, he plays fullback with the plum. But to plonking on a wing, I think you can put it this way. I think you can grab a wing spot from a player from the bench better than you can grab a center or a 5'8" or a fullback spot. That's wingers. They are specialty spots. But Joey Manu's in this team. I think outside of Tedesco, he's their next best player.
I always love it when, you know, when people talk about, well, what does the opposition not want to see? And I imagine Arthur would be quite happy seeing Joey Manu on a wing.
I couldn't agree with you more. If they're looking at the team sheets like we are right now, and you see number 5 is Joseph Manu, you go, oh, boys, that's good for us. And look, the Roosters win this game, and they're on 28 points with the Eels. It's a massive game for both clubs. So, look, Parramatta pretty well full strength. As you mentioned at the top of this, a couple of injuries, but they'll have to bounce back after the Raiders lost last week.
And the biggest hurdle they've got right now is figuring out how they navigate this time without Mitchell Moses. He's out with a fractured back or broken back. He's expected to miss, I think, 5 to 7 was the diagnosis. So they need to figure out how to navigate this period because they couldn't do it last week over the Raiders. They got done in a close one, but they can't simply just afford to fall away for the remaining regular season games.
And see, with both these halves in Dylan Brown and Jake Arthur, they're kind of both passive halves. They get the ball, they pass it, they don't kind of connive and set up play outside them. They do their job. And that's why I kind of thought that maybe you could even throw in attack, swap Brown with Gutherson.
Yeah.
Put Gutho up at the 5'8 for a while. I think he played 5'8 and a bit for Manly before he came to Parramatta. But anyway, that's BA's job, not mine.
Who are you tipping?
You know what? I'm looking at the Roosters. I think the Roosters. I don't know why. I just think that for something in the back of my mind says that Joey Manu won't play on the wing.
Yeah. You and the other thing I was going to, could Robinson potentially give Manu a bit of a roving mandate to say, look, you start on the wing, but you feel free when we're in attack to just go find the footy.
Yeah, that could be one of the things he looks at, but. Yeah, I don't know. Unless they've run out of wingers.
Right. Friday night, 6 o'clock. West Tigers taking on the Warriors. I think the Warriors season probably done and dusted.
Yeah, they're gone. Hence why RTS probably, he knew that and he wanted to get back to New Zealand before he was here until Christmas.
But the West Tigers still with a chance, mathematically.
If they lose this game, they're not.
This is a must win. Yeah, this is a season on the line type game for the West Tigers. Adam Dewey and Luke Brooks, the halves combination again. Moses Mbai starting in the centre. So they've gone away from that, you know, that spine that seemed to work for them midway through the season. Simple as you said, MG, must-win game for the West Tigers.
Yeah, it is. They'll play a desperate Warriors team who'll be looking again to atone last week against the Rabbitohs. They got flogged. But the Tigers as well got flogged as well. So this is both these teams got massive scores put on them last week. So their defence, in particular, in the first 15, 20 minutes, I'm calling this game. I'm looking forward to calling it because I think the Aberdeen exchanges will tell you a long way to predicting who will win this game.
And you're tipping?
Oh, gee, this is, for mine, the hardest game of the round to pick.
Really?
Yeah, it is. I think that the Warriors have always find something, but without RTS, that spark, I think, just or the X factor just kind of disappears. Mm. I think the Tigers, with their season on the line, will be a little bit more desperate. So Tigers in a tight one.
Tigers. I'm really disappointed that we don't get to see Fanua Blake or Matt Lodge for the Warriors, because I would love to have seen Stefano Itoikamanu go against these guys. I think he's been a real, along with Dane Laurie, but a huge win for the West Tigers this season. He's enormous. One of the reasons,
he's massive. He's fantastic. And it's one of the reasons probably the Warriors will struggle a bit, because Fanua Blake and Lodge have been in tandem since they've been together for the last couple of weeks. One of the mainstays of why they're dominating other forward packs. But without both of them, they look a bit thin up front.
Second game Friday night, all Queensland affair. Irrelevant from a finals perspective, but all about state pride. You got the Broncos taking on the Cowboys. Let's play the who's playing in the halves for the Broncos game this week. We got Tyson Gamble and Brody Croft.
No. Wow, that's their 14th combination of the year. Out of 20 games, that's not bad.
Who knows? But look, this is almost as notable for who's not there as it is for who is for the Cowboys. You've got no Val Holmes, he's gone. The Hammer's gone for the season now. It really, this has the potential to be a bit of a fizzer.
It does. You know, and I look at fullback for the Cowboys and I still can't believe I'm reading Jake Granville, the fullback. I just... Look, he did good last week.
He can't believe it.
I don't think he can. I think he played a bit of junior games there, but come on, man. Like, really? For that reason, I think Broncos, Suncorp Stadium.
Yeah.
Cowboys are like the Tigers. If they lose this game, say goodbye to any chance you've got of making the eight. I think the Broncos might get them.
And we don't want to dally too long on a Queensland game. They have to win, the Broncos. Like, if you're Kevy Walters and you can't get a team over the line, I'm not putting this all on Kevy because it's the 17 that have got to run out there and do the job. But if you can't win this game, when there's no finals at stake, so there's, you know, theoretically no pressure here, if you can't roll up your sleeves and get it done against this Cowboys outfit,
Kevy's in a bit of a conundrum, right? So he knows that he's inherited a team that kind of he's trying to reshape with the help of Dave Donaghy from the Storm and Ben Eichen from, obviously, his point of view as a Broncos ex-legend. Now he's the football manager. But I thought his mindset would be to win every game possible.
Mm.
And I don't know why you wouldn't include a guy like Xavier Coates, who just played Origin, but for some reason he can't find a spot here because he's leaving to go to Melbourne. Talks through the week were that the Roosters were after Xavier Coates to go there before August, the August cutoff line. So, so sometimes you think, well, you don't deserve the win if you're not picking your best team. So I think Broncos will win, but you're talking about Kevy, and then Kevy, well, he'll play a big part in this because he's picked the team. And if they don't get over the line, well, then on Monday we'll give it to him.
I said let's not get dragged down into a Queensland match for too much, but I want to for a moment because what would the other players, like what's Payne Haas, this young future leader of this club, rep player, wants to win, wants to play well. What's he sitting there thinking about Xavier Coates not getting a game and presumably being fit?
Oh, they'd all have their own opinion, and I think it'd be pretty unanimous that they want him in the team. They want to win games. They want to finish off with a flurry. I think it might, look, it's up to every coach's just in their own discretion about what they do with players who are leaving and going to another club. But usually in 85% of times, they just try and win a game with what they've got. We saw the Dragons do it last year with Frizzell. We've seen it, you know, we've seen it happen a myriad of times. I just don't get why he's making an example of Xavier Coates because he wants to better his opportunities in Melbourne. It's win games, Kevy. You've got to win games. And if you've got to win games, you've got to pick your best 13. And he's definitely part of their best 13.
Yeah. All right. Getting along to Saturday, you're tipping the Broncos there. Sorry, Suncorp.
Broncos in a tight one.
Saturday, 3 o'clock. You settle in on your Saturday. You turn off you rip off the knob once you get it onto Triple M in the morning. You settle in with the Dead Set Legend boys, and then you get into the Saturday scrum. with yourself and Gerds and Tony Squires. We got Brent Reed. Brent Reed in the fourth seat again, the glue.
Yeah, I also want to thank Jimmy Graham for filling in for me last week when I was on holiday. Good on you, Jimmy.
Yes.
Much appreciated.
Yeah, great reports from James Graham. Created plenty of headlines, the Englishman. Saturday, his former side takes on the Bunnies. We have St. George Illawarra taking on South Sydney Rabbitohs. Dragons are at $9 at time of recording. The three players sitting out there, barbecue gate bands this week, we see Blake Laurie, Jack Bird and Jack DeBellin. So you take those three blokes out of a side, and when you consider that they've dropped Matt Dufty,
yep.
And Corey Norman's back in but playing centres, and so Jaden Sullivan will hold his spot at 5'8 alongside Ben Hunt.
Yeah, again, we spoke about this yesterday on the show, and it's all, I feel so sorry for Anthony Griffin. He was onto something really special, I thought. They were, before this barbecue gate happened, they were in the eight. They were looking ominous. They just had a really hard-fought victory over the Warriors. And then they go and basically blow up their season by doing what they did, which is well-documented. So Hook's got a decision. He's kind of dropped three of his best players this weekend, but he's brought in the three guys who, with an eye to the future, in Tyrell Sloan, Faye Guy, young Jaden Sullivan at 5'8". Their pack is almost unrecognisable, except for Tarek Sims, and they've got Thuy Maiono and Billy Burns in the back row, Farmer Silly front row with Josh Kerr and McCulloch, so, who are playing a team who are on fire. Don't get complacent, the Rabbitohs, because this one could come up and nip at your heels and do something that you don't want to do. This is a game where the Rabbitohs have got to make a statement and put them away, you know, thoroughly.
Well, the Rabbitohs will draw level with either the Storm or the Panthers on the ladder this week from a points perspective.
There you go.
Because
there
the Storm go. And the Panthers going head-to-head, well, they might draw, but you would expect that the Rabbitohs will be on the same points after this weekend as either the Panthers or the Storm. So a lot of differential to make up for in terms of for and against.
Yeah.
But still, the hunt for a top two spot is very much on for the Bunnies. Righto, then we get to this game, 5:30 p.m. Saturday. This one's at Suncorp Stadium, all the games in Queensland again this weekend. It's the Knights taking on the Raiders. This is almost getting to win or season over for the Knights now. They're a game behind the Raiders. The Raiders on 18 points, the Knights on 16. Mitchell Pearce is in. He's on the amongst the reserves, so not sure if we see him back.
Yeah, he's named number 21. I'd say doubtful. But they still look.
But look, David Clemmer comes back in on the bench. He'll be looking to make a point. And Bradman Best is back as well.
That's
a dynamic young centre.
That's significant. Yeah, that's when you need a strike weapon out in your back line, and he's definitely that. And without him, they've missed that. But this Raiders team, we spoke about them earlier in the week. They're three in a row. They've got rid of all their excess baggage, so to speak, as far as airing all their differences, and it seems to have galvanised them.
Yep.
I like the way they're playing. They're playing a defensive style of footy that's Canberra orientated. Elliot Whitehead comes back.
Yep.
Whiten is back.
Huge.
Rapana stays at fullback, which is good for them. Oh, this is, wow.
Good game.
I said about the Tigers, Warriors, equally, this is very hard to pick, but I've got to go with the momentum in this game. I'm looking at the Raiders. If Ponga has a... If Ponga's man of the match, Knights win.
You've almost talked yourself into the Knights just there.
I'm going Knights. On the back of Ponga and Bradman Best. Yep.
The return of Best is crucial because it does relieve some of that, you know, attacking onus on Caelan Ponga. And yeah, Clemmer coming off the bench. You'd think if Mitchell Pearce somehow
what's the presence
comes into the starting 13 as well, you'd have to back the Knights. But we'll wait and see. Going to be a good game regardless. Then we get to this one, top of the table clash, Storm v Panthers. Now it's the top of the table clash, but not as we know it or not as we'd like to see it, because the Panthers are walking wounded. This is not the team that has blasted away all comers in the first half of the season. They're without Nathan Cleary, we know that, with the shoulder injury. But now they're also without Isaiah Yeo, who suffered a concussion last week. James Fisher-Harris is out of the bubble at the moment with his partner, who's given birth to a child. Tyrone May suffered an injury last weekend, a medial ligament, so he's out. And Brian To'o, he was undergoing surgery for a syndesmosis injury. So they have lost, what is it, 1, 2, 3, 4 rep players out of this side.
Yeah, it's not the game a month ago we were salivating over, or even just before Origin, before Nathan Cleary was injured and Jerome Luai we thought that the top of the table clash would be just that, a massive clash. But at the moment, it looks, this is, look, Penrith haven't been $5.75 in a two-horse race for a long time. And the fact that Melbourne are at full strength, and I think they'll want to make a statement as well. But so will Penrith. So will Penrith's young guys, who'll try and hold the fort, basically. Look, you don't win competitions in July, you know, and that's, we're still in July. So we've still got a few months of footy to go, which can, you know, so topsy-turvy. At the moment, I'm thinking that ever since the game's been moved to Queensland, anything can happen. I think throw form out the window, because we've never been in this situation before where we've had to get our families, our loved ones, isolate for 2 weeks, you know, quarantine, and then stay in your room with basically tape across the doors. It's uncharted waters. And the teams that navigate that scenario the best will be the ones, I think, that will be the teams that fly home with a wet sail. Storm are one of them teams, because they were basically, you know, stationed up at North in Sunshine Coast for most of last year. So they get it. Penrith, on the other hand, well, they're a young team, and they haven't been placed in this scenario before. Last year in lockdown, they could sleep in their own beds. And so it's going to be interesting to see exactly what type of performance they put in against a rampant Storm on the weekend. I haven't gone against Penrith for since I've retired. I'm not going to do it now. They're my team. Yep. So I'm picking them, but, you know, Storm look formidable.
Especially when the Storm bring Munster, Finucane and Kaufusi all back into the side after the three players were given a rest last week. Look, I am fascinated to see how the Panthers go into this, and no doubt Ivan Cleary will be instilling a siege mentality into these players. They're like, hey, this is a huge opportunity. Now, the difficulty is you're coming up against a Storm side that there's not that, I guess, they don't have off weeks. They don't have weeks where they relax and they get lazy.
Well, they might have last week. Last week might have been one where the Cowboys got close to them.
True.
So that might be unfortunate for Penrith.
True. Yeah, exactly.
But look, there's a couple of kids to look out for. Isaac Tago on the bench, 14 for Penrith. He's a goer. Scotty Sorensen, who came over from the Sharks.
And who just signed an extension today.
Yeah, inked another two-year deal. Spencer Linu off the bench. Yeah, Jermaine Hopgood. So there's some young kids are getting an opportunity, which they probably didn't think they'd get this time of year. So, Burton and Luai in the halves will have a big say in how this game goes. But, yeah, it's going to be a hard one for Penrith to win.
Right, two Sunday games to get through. The Titans take on the Bulldogs. Seabus Super Stadium on the Gold Coast. It's a Bulldogs home game, but the Titans get the luxury of playing at their home ground. This is a must-win game for the Gold Coast Titans if they want to stay in touch. There is still a game out of the eight at the moment, but their four and against is better than the Raiders and not far off the Dragons and the Sharks. So a big win here, a good win here, could see them sit potentially as high as seventh at the end of this round. They get, importantly as well, they get Jamal Fogarty back into the side, MG.
Yeah, and you get the feeling that Fifita's starting to get match fit, which is really good news for the Titans as well. Tino, he just gives 100% every week. But someone like, I've compared Fifita to Dave Taylor in the past, the big, you know, the wrecking ball, who basically, when he wants the ball, he gets it and he scores. So he's, in the last couple of weeks, especially last week, I loved him coming off the bench. I don't want that to be a permanent position because I think he's too valuable for the team. And in big games, you want to establish some sort of confidence, and Fifita will give your team confidence starting. I don't want to look across and see him standing in the line next to Tino Fasua Malaawi. Bulldogs, well, all their chances in this game, I think, have gone once Luke Thompson got a three-match ban. Mm. He has been their heart and their soul, along with Josh Jackson. But him being rubbed out for that hit on Brayley last week for 3 weeks, that's basically, I think, resigned the Dogs to the wooden spoon spot for the second year in a row. Titans to win comfortably.
The other, Kyle Flanagan is one to keep an eye out for. He's been given a shot at number seven for this game. So
good.
Look, I hope he goes well, but obviously I hope the Titans win. Final game of round 20, Sharks Seagulls. It is the battle of the beaches. Sean Johnson, obviously the huge out for the Cronulla Sharks. Matt Moylan, we thought he might be back in time from that calf injury. He's been named amongst the reserves. But at the moment, Connor Tracy and Braden Trindle are the halves for the Sharkies. Meanwhile, the Seagulls are pretty close to full strength, especially when you consider that Curtis Sirenin has come back into the side in the number 16.
Yeah, they're that team. They're that team that look ominous. I love the way they're playing footy. I look down their team sheet, and all the way from 1 to 13, they're strong. The bench, Dylan Walker's been fantastic off the bench. You mentioned Curtis Sironen. Him being back and his presence being in the dressing room will lift them up. Sipley on the bench, and you know, Moses Suli misses out, Cade Cuss misses out, Jack Gajewski.
Gajewski, there's some depth. Gajewski.
So them guys were all regulars in the first four or five rounds when Tommy and that were out. So this is going to be a very hard one for the Sharkies to win. I think the Seagulls will cement their presence in the top half of the draw. And look, they can even go equal with the Roosters if the Roosters get beaten by the Eels.
All right, you know what it is, MG? It's a cracking round of football this week.
Great round of footy.
It is a great round of footy. There's very few irrelevant games in this one. Just recapping MG's tips, he's got the Roosters to beat the Eels, the West Tigers to get it done over the Warriors, the Broncos to beat the Cowboys at home, the Bunnies to get it over the Dragons. He tipped the Raiders, and then he remembered the bloke by the name of Kay Ponga, and he changed his tip, so he's going with
and
the Knights.
Best.
And B-Best, the return of Bradman. He's tipping the Panthers over the Storm, aware of the absence of all the rep players, and that's probably a heart tip rather than a head tip.
With my heart.
That's a heart tip rather than a head tip, so keep that in mind. Titans to beat the Bulldogs and Manly to beat the Cronulla Sharks. There is your Round 20 preview. Enjoy your weekend of footy. We'll see you on Monday.